Good morning. Today's daf in Nedarim Pei Zayin. We are starting today on Pei Vav Amud Beis. We are beginning with the Mishnah. Earlier in the Masechta, we talked about making a neder betos. So a person makes a neder and he made mistakes. Mistakes regarding some of the basic mitzvahs. So a neder betos is not considered a neder. And in fact, it's one of the four categories that we discussed earlier in the Masechta regarding a nedarim that could just simply be disregarded. They don't have any validity. It's predicated on the fact that when you make a neder, so you piv v'lev have to be shoven. In other words, what you're thinking and what you articulate have to be the same. And if for whatever reason there's some disconnect between that which you thought, that which you said, or in other words, or just simply the reality, the facts on the ground. So you made a neder based on false premises, so incorrect premises, so it's just simply not a neder. Okay, good. That was early in the Masechta. Now, in today's daf, so now we're going to be talking about hafar betos. So let's say the response of the husband, right? Because that's been our topic since the beginning of this perek, and not just this perek, but the previous perek as well. So perekim 10 and 11 in this Masechta dealt with the hafar ability of a father and or a husband. Primarily, we've been really focusing more on the husband than that of the father, but okay, the point is going to be that what if it's a hafara betos? And then while we're on the topic, we can of course also add to that, what if it's a kiyum betos? So the husband has the ability either to register a vote of no and a revocation of the neder. Alternatively, he could affirm and he could be mekayim the neder. So what if either one of them is done betos? That's going to be our topic of discussion. And let's begin the Mishnah. Nadra isha v'sefa shenadra bito. So he was misinformed, fake news. So he was told that his wife made the neder, and meanwhile, it was his daughter who made the neder. Nadra bito v'sefa shenadra ishto. Same thing, just reverse the scenarios. His daughter was the one who made the neder, and he thought it was his wife who made the neder. Alternatively, nadra b'nazir. So let's say she made a neder, meaning the wife, and it was a neder b'naziras. V'sefa shenadra b'karban. So and what he thought was, is that it wasn't Nazirus, it was, now the Gemara uses the word carbon over here, most probably what it means is that it was a neder that you're not going to have wine, but in other words, but just a standard neder. In other words, kick carbon. It's going to be like a carbon. But in other words, she didn't, he thought, she didn't take on Nazirus, she's just right now, it's a neder abstaining from wine. Oh, Nadra b'karban v'safar shenadra b'nazir. Again, we could flip it around as well, where the neder was by carbon. In other words, she's prohibiting herself to drink wine like a carbon. And meanwhile, what really actually happened is as it was Nazirus. Okay, whatever. Just flip the reality and what he thought. So Nadra tein v'safar shenadra b'nanavim. Nadra b'nanavim v'safar shenadra b'nateinim. Okay. So what happens now, where the actual neder was on figs and he thought it was grapes. Alternatively, it was on grapes and he thought it was figs. So, okay. In other words, same scenario, just given three different permutations of the same scenario. And that is misinformation, right? Where he simply was not, told correctly what the neder was about. And he was mayfair on, based on false information. So, in all these cases, so yachzav yafir, so what you can do now is that your vote basically is disqualified. In other words, it doesn't count, it's not registered, and you can be made for again. And alternatively, not only could you be made for again, but you could be make him again as well. In other words, you can, whatever you logged in as your vote, that simply didn't count because it's based on misinformation.
You could do it the following day too, that means.
Could be. The Ran quotes a Tosefta. In other words, even though the Gemara is focusing on Hafar over here, so who I didn't, the same thing would be true by Akama as well. In fact, you could see the Ran over here. I'm reading the Ran inside. It's the last Ran of the Mishnah, about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. I raise the Yachz of Yafir. Da Akama Ofer, Kamaisa, Kevin de Patos, Ave Lomahan Velomidi. It simply is nothing. It's disregarded. Since the Hafar or the Akama is based on misinformation, so it has no validity to whatsoever. So, and the run goes on. I just lost my spot. I just regained it. And the run quotes a Tosefta. And the Tosefta makes exactly this point. Behedja Shimekim or Ishim Hakim Bitas Yachalaf the Tanyasam Nidra Isha Vikaim Lavisavra Bito Nadra Bita Vikaim Lavisavra Isha Nadra Rizayafir. Meaning the whole purpose of pointing the Tosefta over here is because the Tosefta says it not only by Afar but also by Kama as well. And there really is no reason why you would make any distinction. Meaning if a Hafar Batos is considered a non-registered vote, it simply has no validity. So the same thing could be said by a Kama as well. In other words, it's based on misinformation. And so you are not really responding properly to the correct neder. So therefore, it's just simply going to be disregarded. Good.
I don't understand. This is so
cheap. Yeah.
Why does the Mishnah have to tell us this? There
was a debate. Fair question. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I think it's because you could be made for the second time, even after.
I'm going to ask you to do. It's a very fair question. I'm going to ask you to do is just wait a little bit because the Gemara is going to draw a stira between our Mishnah and another area in Halacha. Okay. Maybe the upcoming Gemara is going to help a little bit in terms of trying to explain what exactly the Chiddush was. So lememer diani osa dafkahu. Okay, so in the Mishnah, and then the Mishnah gives a whole bunch of scenarios of misinformation, false information, including who was the one who made the neder. Okay, so in our Mishnah scenario, so you were told it was a daughter, and meanwhile it was a wife. You were told it was a wife, and meanwhile it was a daughter. And again, you have the executive power to be made for either neder. And the Mishnah tells us that because you were given bad information, so therefore the Hafara is no good. And the Gemara is assuming why? I'll tell you why. Because in the Pasuk itself, what does the Pasuk say? Yani Osa. Yani Osa means is that you have to object to her. Now the word Osa means it has to be specifically her. So to which the Gemara says it, well, that's interesting. V'hal gabi kuraim dichsiv. Al dechsev al shaul ve al yonasan detanya amar lo shemes aviv vekar vachakach nimsa beno yasi de kriya. Okay, so the Gemara over here makes the following, puts together the following kasha. We have another area in halacha, and that's the halacha of kriya. Okay, so meso, when a person has one of the seven relatives die, seven most immediate relatives, father, mother, daughter, son. Siblings, for sister has to be where she's unmarried, and spouse. So for the seven krovim, so the halach is that upon misa, so you do kriya. Truth of the matter is the Gemara Moi Katan points out, those aren't the only times that you do kriya in other circumstances as well. Anyway, but right now we just assume that we're talking about the krovim, and so there's a mitzvah to do kriya. When exactly to do kriya? So the, Gemara says b'shas chimam, in other words, at the time where the pain is really felt, and various menhagim and exactly when it's done. Some do it by the hespedim, some do it by the actual kavur itself. Okay, anyway, for our purposes right now, we could speak in more general terms. There's a mitzvah to do kriya over the mace. Okay, so what the Bryce here says is the following: that where's the source of kriya? So oddly enough, interestingly enough, it's in Sefer Shmuel Beis. So towards the beginning of Shmuel Beis, I mean, I say the beginning, meaning the first paragraph of Shmuel Beis. So Shaul died, Yehonasan died, and so there was a tremendous amount of anguish over the death of these two. Okay. The, Shaul's death comes at the tail end of Shmuel Aleph, and Shmuel Beis basically picks it up from there. And so if you look at the Pesukim inside, by the way, in context, it doesn't sound like from the Pesukim that we're talking about the actual mitzvah of Kriya. Okay, which I know is funny because our Gemara assumes that we are focusing right now on the mitzvah of Kriya. Anyway, as a general point, is halacha being generated from Pesukim and Shmuel? Shmuel Al, Shmuel Beis? So generally, of course, the answer is no. And it's interesting that the Gemara over here is reading the Pasuk critically as if we're reading Pesukim in the Torah, making drushas based on the Pesukim in Sefer Shmuel. Okay, it's a point of interest. Anyway. Let's just to focus now on the point of the Gemara. So what's the halacha? The halacha is just like this. You have to do kriya, and you have to do it seemingly on the right mace. I know that sounds weird, on the right mace. Well, what else are you going to do? So, and the Gemara's medayik, and the Pesukim say, al sha'ol ve'al yonasan, and the word al is the Gemara is assuming right now is similar to the pasuk saying Yani Osa. You have to reject her neder, meaning you have to know who's making the neder. So over here, when it says Al Yehonasan Va'al Shaul, so when you're doing the kriya, it has to be over that particular mace. It has to be over the right mace. And meanwhile, the halacha is Amr Lo Mace Aviv Vikara V'Achar Kach Nimsa Beno Yasi De Kriya. So please, in context, only quote me in context. It's a ridiculous case. Meaning what happened was is that you were told your father died, so you did kriya. In other words, as per the halacha, you did kriya. And then meanwhile, it turns out that it wasn't your father, it was your son. Okay. So another person you have to do kriya over, but in other words, the kriya that you did is over what you thought to be was your father's death, but meanwhile, it was your son. So what's the halacha? Yatsa yidei kriya. So the kriya works. Even though when you did the kriya, you were given misinformation. Okay. So the Gemara is bothered because what we seem to have over here is an impasse between our Mishnah and this Braisa. So in our Mishnah, so when you're doing Afari, it has to be over the right person. Meaning you have to have been informed the right person who made the neder. And if you were given misinformation, you did Afari based on misinformation, the Afari is simply rejected. Meanwhile, by Kra'im, by the halacha of doing kriya, so there, it doesn't have to be over the right person. You were given misinformation, you did kriya, and then you were corrected, the kriya still works. So an impasse between the two. So interesting that the Gemara doesn't just simply say, those are two different areas of halacha. One has to do with nadarm, the other one has to do with the tearing of clothing over the death of someone. Two different areas of halacha. Additional to that, the mitzvah of kriya is a mitzvah min haTorah. Doesn't seem that way. And it's okay. Anyway, and I know that that whenever the Chachamim make a din, a derabanan, it's kein d'oraisa. Okay. Anyway, it is so interesting that the Gemara doesn't for a moment flinch and just simply asking from an area of nadam to the area of crime. And of course, it seems like two totally different areas of halacha. So, but the Gemara is going to be giving two answers to this question. And so let's go through both answers, obviously. Amri. So lo kasha has habistam habim mefarish. So answer number one is that we're going to make a distinction between stam versus mefarish. And that means to say that it depends what kind of misinformation you were given. Meaning you were told that one of your krovim died. You weren't told who. But you assumed it was one of them, but you weren't told who. In other words, it was not mefarish. It was stam. And you did kriya. And it turns out that it was somebody else. Oh. So the kriya that you did now is going to be fungible. Okay. And so you could take the kriya that you did that you thought it was over your father. And now what you could do is that you could just simply convert it over to to another family member. Right? Because you weren't told specifically who. However, if it's mefarish, if you were told specifically who it was, and you did the kriya over that specific person that you were told, and then you discovered misinformation, so now the kriya is going to have to be done again. So we'll make a distinction between stam versus mefarish. And now we have shalom between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Meaning in the Mishnah, so how come the misinformation is simply disregarded? Because the pasuk says yaniosa. Because in the Mishnah you were given specific information that was wrong. You were told it was your daughter, meanwhile it was your wife. You were told it was your wife, meanwhile it was your daughter. Okay. So this is going to be answer number one. The Ron already points out over here that it's a really, it's not a difficult answer. Meaning, I'm sorry, the answer in of itself is good. It's really hard to fit into the words. Meaning, if you look at the Braisa, Amru lo, right? I'm just going back a line in the Gemara. Amru lo, Mace Aviv. Right? You were told that your father died. Doesn't sound like a case of Stam. It sounds pretty clearly that's a case of Mefarish. The Ron notes this. The Ron observes that the answer that the Gemara is giving is going to have to now go back and have us forced to go back to the Braisa and really reinterpret the Braisa. Meaning, even though the Braisa says Amrulo Mesaviv, what the Braisa means is that Amrulo, what you were told is that a relative died. It's not, I understand it's not smooth, but that's what we'll say. That's exactly how the Ron says it. And the Gemara likes this answer. The Gemara corroborates it with Braisa's Vehatanya. Vehatanya most of the time is understood to be a challenge, but over here it's benichusa. In other words, it's a support for what we just said. Amr lo meis aviv v'kar v'achar kach nimsa b'no lo yasi yidei kriya. Amr lo meis ameis v'chasav v'shavivu v'kar v'achar kach nimsa b'no yasi yidei kriya. Perfect. The Braisa corroborates exactly what we just said. If you were told generally that a relative of yours died, you assumed it was one of your relatives, and meanwhile, it was another one, the Kriya works. So there, if it's Stam, and you weren't specifically told who died, so then so the Kriya that you did now can transfer from what you thought was one dead person to now who is the actually correct dead person. However, on the other hand, if it's Mefarish, if you were told specifically, this is the relative that died, and meanwhile, it's misinformation, so now you're going to have to, and you did Kriya based on the misinformation, on the specific misinformation, so now, no, you have to do Kriya again. Okay. That is answer number one. The Gemara now is going to be giving a second answer. Again, let's reset. We have a kasha between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah tells us that a hafara that's done based on the wrong person, so that hafara is just simply ignored. It's disregarded. And meanwhile, in the Braisa, you did Kriya on the wrong person, so the Kriya works. Okay. So we already gave one answer, Stam versus Mefarish. The Gemara now is going to be giving us answer number two. And let's go. Rav Ashi Amar Kan Besoch Kedei Dibor, Kan La'achar Kedei Dibor. And so the Gemara says, it depends on whether or not they are connectable. Meaning the Kriya that you did, and the new information that's provided for you, the correct information provided to you. If they were given within a window of time, so now what we could do is that we could take the Kriya and we can now attach it to the good information. Now, mind you, by the way, because this is going to really hurt our brains a little bit, even if the information was given to you after the Kriya was done. So that means to say as follows, right? Rav Ashi's answer goes like this. You were told that one of your relatives died, you did Kriya. Okay? You were given bad information. But immediately after you did the Kriya, so you were corrected. Oh, no, 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 right after the Kriya. Oh, no, 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 it wasn't him, but rather it was him. Still, a family member that you have to do Kriya for. So now, because it's Toch Kedei Dibor, so now Toch Kedei Dibor, as long as it's within a window of time, so the Kriya that you did can be connected with the good information, despite the fact that the good information is after you did the Kriya. Now, obviously, that's a little bit difficult to grasp because usually the way we look at Kriya, it's a response to the news. Meaning, generally speaking, what happens is that you learn the news and then you do Kriya. Over here, what we're saying with Toch Kedei Dibor is that you did the Kriya and then you learn the news. But as long as it's within that window of time, so then the two are connected. Okay, that's a Chiddush. The Gemara is going to support Rav Ashi. First the Gemara spells it out. Had the Gemara Yasi Yedei Kriya. So Shenimsa Beno Besoch Kedei Dibor. Had Amar Lo Yasi Yedei Kriya La'achar Kedei Dibor. Okay, and if the correction came within Toch Kedei Dibor, so then it works. And if the correction comes after Toch Kedei Dibor, so then the correction does not work. Vatanya. And again, this answer of Ashi, the Gemara is going to support it with a Braisa. So let's say as follows, Rachmanis, you have a family member who's on his way out. And so right now it looks like you've just hit the moment of death. So you did Kriya. And then another gasp of breath, and then he dies. As long as the actual death comes within Toch Kedei Dibor of your Kriya. And again, in terms of sequencing is concerned, so first it was Kriya and then it was death, but as long as they're within the span of Toch Kedei Dibor, so then it's going to work. In other words, and the Kriya serves as a good Kriya. Okay. And Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, Mishim bar Kapar, Lo Shanu, Elo Shemes Acher Kedei Dibor, Aval B'Toch Kedei Dibor, Kedibor Dami. Sorry. I think I just assumed the... Oh, sorry. In other words, in the Braisa it says that it was Lo Yasi de Kriya, and on that, Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi clarifies that's only if it's Acher Kedei Dibor. But if it's Toch Kedei Dibor, then it works. Okay, fine. So, and we do have another line before we get to the next mission, and I'm just going to hold off on that for just a moment. So what happens now is that the Gemara tells us that we have a concept, a principle of Toch Kedei Dibor. First of all, I keep referring to it, a window of time. How long in time are we talking about? So it's not really a long period of time. It's the amount of time that it takes to say Shalom Alecha Rabbi Omori, right? And there is a discussion to be had of whether or not that last word actually belongs. So Shalom Alecha Rabbi Omori. So I did not put a stopwatch right now as I said it, But I am going to suggest it's somewhere between 1 to 2 seconds. Okay. It's really not. It's not a large window of time. In fact, it's a really short window of time. Practically speaking, how often are we going to have things being within Toch Kedei Dibur? It's really, in other words, a 1 or 2 second delay and it's considered a single unit of time. That's difficult. That's really challenging. Anyway, good. So what we have over here is a question and we have now two answers. Let's just quickly summarize. In our Mishnah, given misinformation, and you responded with a hafara based on misinformation, what's the halacha? So your hafara is no good. It doesn't register because it's based on false information. Meanwhile, the Braisa says that if you do a kriya based on false information, and then afterwards you're corrected, the kriya works. So how is it by kriya? So the kriya works even if the kriya was done given misinformation. In our Mishnah, the hafara does not work. Okay, so, and maybe, by the way, that will be an answer to your question, meaning the Mishnah seems to be so obvious. Okay, but now that I have the braisa regarding kriya, okay, so now our Mishnah stands as a chiddush. And so with that in mind, so the Gemara gives just two answers. Answer number one is that stam versus mefarish. If the misinformation is generic and misinformation, and it's only your assumption that was incorrect, so then it would work. On the other hand, if you were given specific misinformation and you did a kriya based on specific misinformation, so then the kriya is not going to work. That's one answer. The second answer is it depends on whether or not you were corrected besoch kedei dibur. If you're corrected besoch kedei dibur, so then the kriya and the good information now could be connected. On the other hand, if it's acher kedei dibur, then it can't be connected. And then the kriya that you did is simply not going to be a kriya. Okay, we have one more line of Gemara, but with an exciting run. The Gemara says, "Ve'ilchasa toch de dibur kedibur dami chutz me'megadei va'ovid avodas kochavim u'mekarish u'megarish." Okay, now the halacha is very clear: toch de dibur is kedibur dami. As long as you articulate something or correct it with something within a window of time of toch de dibur, it's kedibur dami. So it's as if it's part and parcel. It's as if it's connected and united with your previous statement. And with notable exceptions, Megadev, somebody who blasphemes, Ovid Avodas Kochavim, somebody who serves idolatry, Mekadosh and Megarish, Kiddush and Gerishin. So there, we are not going to say Toch Kedei Dibur. Okay. And so over here now, we are going to go through probably one of the most classic pieces of the Ran here in this Masechta. Let's do it inside. So over here, the Ran, second wide line, The Ran writes, if you don't mind, I'm just going to. I shouldn't have read it. Anyway, what's it called? Subtle differences between the Gemaras in terms of notable exceptions. Okay, but the Ran says it, but the Gemaras aren't arguing with one another. Anyway, we go on. Megadev. So the Ran just spells it out. Megadev. So Rechmanis, a person blasphemes. And then, a second later, he retracts. Retraction doesn't work. Ovid avodas kochavim shimamar avodas kochavim eliata v'chazar b'lo havyachazara. You declare your fidelity to an idol, and then you immediately take it back. Doesn't work. Mikash megarish im kiddush or gerish v'chazar b'lo toch dibor lo matzia hadarbe kiddush and gerishin. So you're mikadosh a woman, and you immediately retract. I didn't mean it. A second later, within toch kedei dibor, the retraction is not a retraction. Okay. Good. So the Gemara says it. It's a mantra of the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't give any explanation. And so the Ran says, what I'd like to do is I'd like to propose an explanation. A simple svara. Why are these the exceptions to the rule? If Toch Kedei Dibur is a rule, so then why are these rule breakers? Simple question. V'nir Beinai. So the Ran says, I'd like to suggest the following. So the Ran over here gives unbelievable psychological insight in terms of how we speak. What happens when we speak? So we are in constant editing mode. Right? I hear it myself. Right? Everyone knows I'm recording. In fact, talk about meta over here. I'm talking about recording while I'm recording. Okay, so and I record. And what I hear now all the time is that I speak. Sometimes I stumble on words. Sometimes I repeat. And what's happening is that I'm thinking I'm speaking, but I'm editing as I'm speaking. And so as I'm editing while I'm speaking, so what's going to happen is that if I say something and I hear it and it comes out not the way I want it, so then what I do is I just simply go back and I edit. I quickly edit it. So what the Ron proposes is that the reason why Tolkien de Dibor works, meaning why is it a halachic reality? Because it's the recognition of the fact that when we speak, we're editing while we're speaking. And so therefore I say something, so I'm going to quickly retract it. Why? Because that's the nature of thought and speech. You're in constant editing mode. But over here, what are we talking about? The most serious of activities. We're talking about blasphemy. We're talking about being Mekadosh a woman. We're talking about things that obviously you've been thinking about for a while. So over here, what are you going to do? You're going to say it and then immediately say, no, I didn't mean that. I didn't think it through. No, you thought it through, right? By Kedushin, you've been going out with her for a while, right? The parents got together. They all, in other words, this is something obviously, which is the culmination of much thought. And so once you say it, you can't afterwards say, oh, no, I didn't mean that. Of course you meant it. So the Ryan over here says, based on this Yisod, that's why he understands the differences in the general rule of Tolkien de Dibor and the notable exceptions as outlined in our Gemara. Okay. And then the Ryan quotes an interesting Rabbeinu Tam. So he's quoting the Ramban, quoting the Rabbeinu Tam. You've heard me say this before. Okay, the Rabbeinu Tam is Me'ashkenaz, right? From the countries of France, Germany, right? And the Ramban is Spain. And there's a whole series of mountains separating the two of them. And meanwhile, Rabbeinu Tam's Torah got into Spain. It's so clear. It's so obvious. He's quoted by the Ramban. He's quoted by the Ritva. He's quoted by all the classic Spanish Rishonim. Because Rabbeinu Tam's Torah, so it infiltrated, right? It got down there. I'm always wondering, I don't know if there, what kind of cross communication there was, between the Ashkenaz and the Spanish, right? Or what we call Sephardim. So, I don't know how much cross communication, but clearly, Rabbeinu Tam's Torah. Rabbeinu Tam is an early Ashkenazic Rishon. He's a grandson of Rashi. So, and the Ramban. So the Ramban is in the middle of the 13th century, right? About 100 years later. So the Torah of Enotam came down and got down into Spain and the Ramban quotes it. Over here, so the Ramban's quoting the Rabbi Enotam. So the Tokh de Dibra Kadiba Dami Takantahu de Takan de Tikan Rabbanan Mishum Tamad Alokeh Mecha Chupagabo Rabbo Shiacho Litin Lo Shalom. So the Rabbi Enotam says, do you know what the genesis of Tokh de Dibra is? It's the following. You're in the market. You're making a sale. And your Rebbe passes you by. And as you are now making an agreement, a firm agreement to the sale, so what happens is that you are either just, you just completed the sale, or you're just about to, but when your Rebbe passes by, you can't not say hello to your Rebbe. So in other words, so what the Chachamim allowed you to do is that they allowed you to say hello to your Rebbe and go ahead now and retract from anything from any final sale. And because of that scenario, so Rabbeinu Tam says that the rabbis instituted Tolkien de Dibor in every other scenario. But in other words, that's the genesis of Tolkien de Dibor. That's the Ramban quoting the Rabbeinu Tam. Vehushu midoseim b'chol mili bar mehani. So what the Chachamim did is that they took that scenario, they applied it to every other area of halacha with notable exception. Now the Ron says, I don't buy it. I don't like it. V'lo nichali. So the Ron says, I just simply don't understand that approach. V'chi beisim masan la'akor davar min ha'Torah la'olam b'kum ha'sei ben adarim. So because over here, meaning you, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, we're talking about a takana de Rabbanan. A takana de Rabbanan can uproot, meaning over here we're talking about nadarim. Nadarim is a din d'araisa. The husband's ability to be made for the neder is a din d'araisa. And now, because of Takana de Rabbanas, we can go ahead and uproot Dine Daraisa and Bekum Ba'asei. Meaning, this isn't passive, this is actively uprooting a Din Daraisa based on a Takana de Rabbanan. The Ran says, I'm just simply not buying it. Okay. And obviously over here, we just scratched the surface of this topic of Tocha de Dibur. In other words, obviously there's a mitzvah to defend the Ramban, the Rabbeinu Tam. There are defenses mounted to defend them, and you know, and the discussion goes on. But just a really basic run over here in this Masechta on today's daf regarding the topic of Tocha de Dibur. Okay, good. Let's continue. We have we're on the Mishnah on the bottom of Pei Zayin Amud Aleph. Next Mishnah, Amra. She says the following: Koinim Teinim Vanavim Elu Shani Toimus. V'kiyem L'Teinim Kulo Kayim. So she makes a neder on both figs and grapes, and she says that by via neder I'm not going to have both. And what is Osman's response? So he was Mekayim, but only Teinim. So Kulo Kayim. So it's all going to be sustained. Hey, for Latainim, Ainim Ufer Achiafer Af La'anavim. As far as Hafar is concerned, so the Hafar only works only when you do a total Hafara. Okay. Amra Konim Te'ina Shani Toemis, Va'anava Shani Toemis. Sorry, Elu Shnei Nedarim. But then the Mishnah points out that if she says Konim Te'ina Shani Toemis, and Va'anava Shani Toemis, so she takes the Neder and she makes two phrases out of it, so two phrases equals two Nedarim. And so therefore they can be treated independent one of the other. Okay. Mani Masisin Rabbi Yishmael D'Tanya. Okay, so as far as the authorship of our Mishnah is concerned, it is Rabbi Yishmael. As we're going to see, there are three opinions on this matter. Number one. Yes.
So why is it Rabbi Yishmael?
Yeah, because the Gemara has corroborating information from a Braisa.
I would say Rabbi Yossi was all the
misguides from the spirit. Yeah. Oh, right. That was an excellent point. Meaning what David reminds us is that Rav Huna in the beginning of this parak said every Mishnah is Rav Yossi. Okay. Noted. And notable exception. Okay, Mani Masnissen. So Rabbi Shmuel, the Tanya. Isha Yikamen of Isha Yifarenu Amra Konim Teinim Venavim Elu Shani Tomas Latainim Kulokayim. I'm sorry, Vikiyim Latainim. So Kulokayim. Hefer l'teinim einim ofer achiafer af anavim divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Good. So what we have over here is a brisa, and the brisa brings us first the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. And so when she makes a neder on teinim v'anavim, and he goes ahead and he's mekayim. So if it's mekayim teinim, the whole neder becomes mekoyim. But when it comes to hafara, so the hafara has to be where he's made for every aspect of the neder. Okay. The Rabbi Kiva Omer, Harei Omer, Isha Yikemenu, Isha Yiferenu. Ma Yikemenu, Mimenu, Af Yiferenu, Mimenu. And what Rabbi Kiva tells you is that, look, we have a Hekesh. And we've been noting this Hekesh again and again in this Masechta. Isha Yikemenu, Isha Yiferenu. In the same pasuk, you have both Hakam and Hafara. So whatever's true by one is going to be true by the other. So just like by Hakama, so if the husband is making part of the neder, the whole neder is sustained. So if the husband is made for part of the neder, the whole neder is going to be rejected.
He's always bundling. Everything.
Right, and over here, right. And over here, right. So then the back and forth, meaning what I'm not going to do it right now, although, you know, we just scratch the surface when we do the daf. But then the back and forth, meaning how do you understand? Why doesn't Rabbi Yishmael accept the Hekesh? It's a Hekesh. Rabbi Kiva is right. And how is Rabbi Yishmael going ahead and splitting the atom? In other words, so I have these two ideas in the same pasuk, and Rabbi Yishmael says, yeah, I know, but the halacha is going to be different by Hakama versus Hafara. And how come he doesn't acknowledge the Hekesh? Meaning he knows there's a Hekesh. So, and despite the fact that there's a Hekesh still, he believes that there's some sort of distinction between the two. Obviously, it needs more explanation. Okay, and Rabbi Yishmael Amiksiv Yafer Mimenu. So, and as far as Rabbi Yishmael is concerned, so it doesn't say Yafer Mimenu. By Hakama, it says Yikimenu, which allows for the drasha of that if you're Mekayim part of it, so the whole thing is going to get sustained. But in other words, by Hafara, you don't have that kind of language. Meaning again, I'm reiterating. Meaning Rabbi Yishmael acknowledges, of course, there's a Hekesh, but at the same time, the description in the Torah by Hakama is different than that of Hafara. So even though there's a Hekesh, they're different. Okay, and again, what the Tanaim are arguing is how to balance that. And Rabbi Akiva, make a shofar lakama, ma'akama mimenu, afafar mimenu. And what Rabbi Akiva's counter is going to be is hekish, meaning, okay, I understand. It says yikimenu. It doesn't have the same lashon by afara, but the hekish allows us to transfer. I have now a partial hakama, which equals a full hakama on the hakama side. I have a hekish, so the same thing is going to be true by afara. Okay, fine. So what we have now outstanding are two positions. Regarding a partial hakama, a partial afara, machlokus between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Our mission is going like the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel. And now, one more piece of information. And that is going to be, coming from left field. Am Rabbi Chia bar Abba, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Zudev Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. Good. So we just went over the positions of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Avachachamem omrem, hakama la'afara. I'm sorry. Mekish hakama la'afara. Ma'afara. Mashe fair. Lo hefer. Now I'm reading the Gemara like the Ran, and then in a moment I'll cite the Ran inside. So ma hafar mashe efer lo efer. So the avakama mashikim lo kiyeng. Okay, so the Chachamim's positions like this: you do a partial hakama, you do a partial afara, partial hakama, partial afara, all means zero. It means zero. The Ran really struggles in terms of what the correct girsa is over here. The Ran, after a short discussion, he says that he believes, lefichach, if you want to follow with me in the Ran, I'm in the really narrow lines, four from the bottom. Lefichach, nira girsas ksas svarim ikar. Okay, the girsa of some of the svarim, right? I've given you this description before, meaning this is well before the printing press. And so what the Rishonim had was various manuscripts of the Gemara. And, you know, 90, I'm making up the stat, 90... Why not? We spoke about very authoritatively, right? We spoke about fake news earlier this morning. So 90% of the words were coordinated, but every now and then you have subtle differences in girsas. So when the Ran's talking over here about ksasfarim, some of the svarim, meaning some of the manuscripts he had. So generally speaking, you know, you follow the majority, meaning if the majority of the manuscripts read a certain way, so that's probably the most correct. But over here, the Ran says that because of a number of considerations, which again, I'm not going through everything right now, but he believes that this is the correct girsa, even though it doesn't represent the majority. And that is lefichach, nir girsas ksas farim, ikar degar siyachi. Avachachamim omrim, mahafara, mashe efer lo ufar, avachama mashakim lo kiyem. Vechen girsas harav, Rabbi Moshe bar Nachman, bilchosav. The Ramban has a girsa as well, meaning according to the Chachamim, if you do a partial hafara, zero. If you do a partial hakama, zero. Meaning, hafar and hakama only work when you are mefer or make him the entire neder. Okay? Amra. Okay, good. And now, just quickly, let's finish up the daf today. So, Amra konim te'inam. So, the Mishnah, after telling us that, what to do with a neder that has multiple parts, then the Mishnah contrasts that by saying, what if it's multiple nedarim? Good. And the Mishnah tells us what's an example of multiple nedarim, where the woman says te'ina sheni taimus ve'anava sheni taimus, and that's multiple nedarim. So the Gemara notes not everyone agrees that qualifies as multiple nedarim. So Amar Rava Masis and Rabbi Shimon Hidamar Achi Amar Shvuah lechol echad ve'echad. According to Rabbi Shimon, what Rabbi Shimon? The Gemara in Shvuah. We've quoted it here in Nedarim earlier as well. So it's the Gemara in Shavuos, Daf Lamed Vav. I looked at the Ran. I cheated. I didn't. I wish I remembered which daf. Anyway, so so a person's making a Shavuot to five people. Over there in the Gemara in Shavuos, it's talking about Shavuos HaPikadon. But again, right now, without getting involved in what the case is over there, the point is as follows. According to Rabbi Shimon, in order for it to be considered multiple Shavuos, you have to make a Shavuot to each of the individuals. Meaning a collective shvuah to a group of people does not qualify as multiple shvuahs. And in our Mishnah, when our Mishnah says that the woman is making a shvuah, konim, te'ina sheni toimes, anava sheni toimes, so that is reflective of the position of Rabbi Shimon. Which means then that the Chachamim don't agree. And the Chachamim would be of the position. So when a woman makes a neder, konim, te'ina va'anavim, so that's considered like two separate nedarim. According to the Chachamim, who argue with Rabbi Shimon. Interestingly enough, the Rhine over here concludes, the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, meaning that we have enough stam mishnayos throughout Shas, and specifically in our Masechta, all right, if I'm not mistaken, this is our second mishnah in our Masechta, that stam is going like Rabbi Shimon, that in order to, for it to be considered two separate nedarim, you have to make it into two separate phrases. Okay, good. I kind of, we're going to stop over here. Quick recap of today's daf, right? Not even 30 seconds. So, number one, the stira, where in nedarim, so misinformation given to you, you did a hakama or farah based on misinformation, so the hakama and farah is simply disregarded, and meanwhile, when you do kriya based on misinformation, the kriya works. That's a stira between the mishnah and the brisa, and the gemara gave not one but two answers to that question. Answer number one, a distinction between stam versus mefarish. Answer number two, toch kedei dibur versus achar kedei dibur. And then the second topic of today's daf is going to be a partial hakama, a partial hafara. What do we do with a partial hakama and hafara? And the Gemara's conclusion is that not like Rabbi Shmuel, not like Rabbi Akiva, but rather like the Chachamim. And that is that partial equals zero. Partial hakama is simply doesn't qualify as any kind of hafara. Same thing with partial hakama as well. And then, last discussion we had is going to be what qualifies as one neder, what qualifies as two separate nedarim.